Do these names ring a bell? Richard Nixon, Harvey Weinstein, Boris Johnson, Matt Lauer, Donald Trump, Charlie Rose, Al Franken. This is a short list of men once privileged with power. If rightly exercised, they could have served the society's good. But their abuse of their power led to tragedy, sorrow, loss. My point is, power must be controlled, carefully exercised, used only when necessary. In other words, power must be balanced with compassion. The sovereign Lord of the universe has power. This characteristic of God is noted at least 97 times in the Bible, equally distributed, both Old and New Testaments. Moses declared, "You brought your people out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand." Samuel anointed David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in
power.
Job testified, "God's wisdom is profound, his
power
is vast." Isaiah declared, "The sovereign Lord comes with
power,
and his arm rules for him." Gabriel prophesied to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the
power
of the Most High will overshadow you." And Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the
power
of God for salvation." Praise the Lord. And there's another characteristic of God that balances that power, mentioned in Scripture more than 90 times throughout the Old Testament and the New: compassion. Moses rejoiced to say, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love." King Hezekiah prayed, "The Lord is your God, is gracious and compassionate, and he will not turn his face from you if you return to him." Nehemiah reminded the people, "You were disobedient and rebelled against the Lord, but you cried out, and the Lord is in great compassion delivered you." The psalmist writes, "As a father is compassionate to his children, so the Lord is compassionate to those who love him." Ezekiel prophesied, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, I will now bring back Jacob from captivity and have compassion on all the people of Israel." And our text that Paul read, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. What a glorious balance. Certainly this fact brings joy and peace to your heart. And isn't it worth noting that nowhere in the Bible do we read that God is power? We read God is love. God has power. God displays power. But God's essential nature is love, not power. How wonderful and how important. Power concentrated in unloving hands is a dangerous thing. God's power, the unlimited power of the universe, is in loving hands. Well, that's great. That is great to know. When God visited our planet, he took the form of a helpless infant, not a king throwing thunderbolts. Think of it. The power that could still a raging storm with a single word, or call a dead man up from his grave, is channeled through the loving heart and hands of Jesus, God in human flesh. He refused to use his power to dramatic effect or selfish gain. He didn't call legions of angels to rescue him from Judas and the soldiers when they came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then submitted to the soldiers who drove their nails. Power controlled by love. Now, our text this morning is a perfect example of the balance of this marvelous blend of God's power and God's compassionate love, healing a man of leprosy. But let me say something that might surprise you. Jesus did not come to this earth to heal physical disease. Now, he did heal, of course, but his purpose for coming was not to heal disease, to somehow impart an immortal body in this mortal world. He stated his purpose just a few verses earlier. You might recall his disciples encouraging him to heal the desperate crowds. And Jesus said in verse 38, "Let's go somewhere else so that I can preach there also. That is why I came." In his gospel, Mark records four miracles in his first two chapters. And they all came as an interruption to his preaching. In verse 23, he's interrupted by a demon-possessed man while teaching in the synagogue. In verse 29, he's beckoned to the house to heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law. In our text, he's accosted by a leper. And you remember that a couple of weeks ago, four men actually broke a hole in the roof and interrupted the preaching. Lower a sick man to be healed. Jesus heals in every instance out of spontaneous love and compassion. But his primary purpose was to preach repentance, to preach obedience, to preach holiness. Remember his birth announcement, "Be not afraid, Mary, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a doctor." No. Can you imagine? A savior. Now, the ministry of Jesus was healing, but not restricted to meeting physical need alone. The diseases that he came to heal were the important ones. The important ones. Important because they're the ones that destroy not just the body, but also the soul, like Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. The diseases of fear, the disease of self-centeredness, of lust, the disease of guilt, of greed, of pride, of jealousy. Oh, there's still a place for physical healing. I pray for healing. But my faith in God's love and power mustn't rise or fall on whether or not he answers my prayers for my friend or my sick relative. Physical healing was not central to Jesus, and it is Satan's trap to make us think it should be central to us. "He didn't answer my prayers." You know, how often have we heard that? Now, please let me balance that with a simple and open invitation to any and all who come to Jesus for healing, physical and spiritual. He, after all, is the healer. Now, in our text, we read that a leper came on his knees, text says, risking the anger of his society. Lepers weren't allowed to mingle with others. And he risked the rejection of Jesus. He's certain of Jesus' power, but not his compassion. "If you are willing," he said, "you can make me clean." In other words, he knew Jesus could. He didn't know whether Jesus would. It was a big if in the man's mind. He was uncertain or unsure of how Jesus would wield his power. But let us take heart, we who have the scriptural record. Jesus is willing and eager, and we need not fear his power. Filled with compassion, the text says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Power, compassion. Yeah, the touch of Jesus was very important in this instance. You probably know it was forbidden by Jewish law to touch a leper. So a touch wasn't asked, it wasn't expected. It certainly came as a jolt to everybody, especially the leper. But Jesus refused to let ceremonial law impede the flow of his compassion. Jesus taught the law was given by God to benefit, not to burden. The leprous man came with a fear of a possible correction by the crowd, by the priests, even by Jesus. But the touch of Jesus said, "Welcome. It's okay, my friend. I am willing. Have no fear. Oh, may God help us to learn how to touch each other that way, with compassion and willingness. But then the tone changes rather abruptly with a strong, the scripture says, strong warning in verse 44. See that you do not tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrament that Moses commanded for your cleansing. Jesus gave him two commands. Keep quiet and show yourself to the priest. Now, we know now very well that Jesus told him to keep quiet. You know why Jesus told them. They would misunderstand his true purpose in coming. But this former leper didn't keep quiet. Instead, he went about speaking freely and spreading the news. The earthly ministry of Jesus was opposed by the Pharisees, that's obvious. But do we see that selfish curiosity of the crowds and the disobedience of a new believer can also oppose the ministry of Jesus? This was not the first time that a zealous speaker about Jesus have given Jesus a bad name. There would be many more, even in our day. Now, we don't know whether or not he obeyed Jesus on the other score. Did he show himself to the priest? We're not told. But if he had, he would have given some positive balance to his disobedient enthusiasm. If he had gone, the priest would have examined him, declared him clean, and they would have been forced to give the credit to Jesus. But we just don't know. Stories told of a shoeshine boy trying to drum up business at a train station. And as the commuters arrived, he would shout, "Shine, sir, shine!" One morning, the pressure of the crowd knocked over his box of supplies and spilled all over the floor. Few paid attention. It's just a shoeshine boy. They're in a hurry. But one man, well-dressed, turned around, came back, helped him pick up his stuff and made sure that all was okay, turned around and started walking to work. "Hey, mister," the boy called. "Is your name Jesus?" "No," said the man. "Of course not. Why do you ask?" "Well, in Sunday school, the lady told me what Jesus was like, and I thought maybe that's who you are." Jesus would have us reach and touch others, the fearful who need a calm hand, the lonely who need companionship, or the angry who need peace, or the guilty who need God's forgiveness. Our touch can be the touch of Jesus. "Hey, mister, your name Jesus? Are you in need of healing?" He's willing. He's capable. He's powerful. Let us bring our fears and our questions and our failures and our guilt to God's loving power, who is willing and able to restore. Let's pray together. Almighty God, all-powerful, ever-compassionate, while on earth, your life demonstrated consistently the perfect blend of power and compassion. Still a storm, feed 5,000, raise Lazarus, and touch a leper, and restore sight to a blind man. Banish a demon from a tormented man. Father, you have given us power and authority to speak the truth, to display a powerful example, to share the good news, to demonstrate the life-changing behavior of those who believe the gospel and live it out in daily behavior. So, Lord, protect us from fear and laziness and apathy, for these nullify your truth. And when we do speak the truth, may it be in love. Help us see clearly every opportunity you put before us to be the helping hands the compassionate heart of our Savior. And continue to bring your strong arm, powerful healing upon those we know and love who need your compassionate touch. Hear our prayer. And in the attitude of prayer, listen to the words of this hymn called Jesus, I Come. A man named Sleeper, William True Sleeper, wrote this in 1819. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shame, failure, and loss, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm. Out of life's storms, and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, into thy blessed will to abide. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into rapturous above. Upward thee and I on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy home, Jesus, I come. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee. Amen.